Hello and welcome to the Kinetic Fitness Show, where we inspire you to live a longer, healthier, happy, and more joyful life. We cover everything you need to know to be optimally healthy in your mind, body, and spirit. Are you ready to become the ultimate version of yourself? Well, let's dive into another episode with your host and guide by your side, Allie West.
Hey, T, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. How are you doing today?
I am awesome. I'm so happy to be here with you, Allie, and so excited to chat about good, healthy things.
Yeah, for sure. I'm really looking forward to this. And I'm excited as well, because this is one of those episodes where I know I'm going to get a load from it in terms of helping me personally. But I also know that my audience and the listeners, or any new listeners that pick up this podcast, will get so much from it as well. So I'm really excited.
Let's do it. I'm excited too. I love talking about toxic chemicals and helping people avoid them and get them out of your home and lives. So let's dig in.
Let's do it. And I think a great starting point would be with your personal story, because I know you've got a very interesting story. So let's start with your story, a little bit about you, your backstory, and then we will go from there.
Sure. Yeah. My backstory is I'm born and raised in Buffalo, New York, I was born and raised in a family that was very into health foods. My mother only shopped for organic foods. And this is, I was born in 62, so I'm 58 now. But so that was unheard of back then, because we only had little tiny co-ops that you could shop at. And that's all I knew pretty much growing up in my young days. And we grew up in the city, where there were McDonald's and Burger Kings everywhere and pizza, but we didn't eat that. We ate healthy. I came home to apples when I came home for lunch, or, you know, after school. And I have three older sisters and a younger brother, and this is just the way of life that we knew. And as I went to college, I started realizing, like, no, everybody else doesn't eat like this. This is unusual. We are abnormal. And so I decided to go to college, and I wanted to open up a health food supermarket so everybody could learn how important this way of life and eating was to our bodies. And that did not happen, but my business plan was what you all know as Whole Foods. So I presume you're of Whole Foods. I think they're international, aren't they?
We don't have Whole Foods over here, but we have similar sort of things. Yeah.
Similar. So anyway, so I had a business major and a minor in health from Ithaca College in Central New York State. And I also had a side little thing that I was doing, and it was planning parties on campus in our house. And I was the party planner in college. Well, lo and behold, I came out of college, and party and event planning was just breaking into the market in 1985. And there was a company here in Buffalo that opened up, and that's where I got my first job. And that was where I am still here today. I have my own event planning business that I've had for over 35 years. And I was very fortunate for the past 35 years, because our quarterback for the Buffalo Bills in the 90s, where we went to four Super Bowls, was Jim Kelly. And he was really pretty much my first client. And he still is a client to this day, where I've helped him with all of his parties, Super Bowl parties. I did his wedding. I did his retirement. And through the course of that, I've met so many athletes, not only locally, but that have played for so many other teams. Dan Marino and Chris Berman are some of the few that I've become very close with. Well, that helped to launch my career and my business in event planning. So I really have done a lot for athletes locally, and also many companies. So I've lost track, but I've planned over probably 700 events in the past 35 years. But in my blood and inside of me was always a passion to help people live a healthy life. And I have been doing that for 35 years and helping people, and just on the side as a Green Living Guru, which is the name of my business now. But it was always, everybody would come to me and want to know, you know, how's this product? How's that product? And then cancer patients would find me, and survivors, and find me and want me to help them detox their homes. So I kept my finger in that line of work for the past three decades. But in 2020, prior to the pandemic, I decided 2020 was going to be the year that I was going to pivot over into what I really was set out to do in my life. And that was to help people live a clean and green, healthier life. And so I started the Green Living Gurus officially, and was signing up for some courses and some, an entrepreneurship program and small business association in January of 2020. And then the pandemic hit. And we all know what happened at that point, because then I was stuck at my desk. My event planning business was no longer, right? There were no events. There was nothing to do. And it was good timing. It was great timing for me because I was stuck here, and all I could do was work on my Green Living Gurus business. And I took many courses. I took environmental health courses. I have just dove in, never worked so hard in my life for the past 2 years, and really took a path a little different than what I planned on doing, because I really planned on having an online course, and we can talk about this further, but I got really into essential oils as well. And so now I have a product line, which is right there, coming out in the next few days or weeks. And it's organic and healthy cleaning supplies and some other household products. So that is where I am today. And so I'm just happy to be here and spread my knowledge, because that's what I love to do. So that's my history on me.
Yeah, lots we could pick up on there. And the first one I want to talk about is the way that you was raised. And that is, like you said, it's so rare to hear that. And rare even back then. So we're talking the 60s and 70s. It was rare then, and probably even more rarer now. And I just want to get it from your perspective. Why do you think that is? Why is it so rare, even 40, 50 years ago, to be raised with that kind of natural lifestyle of eating good quality products, of living a cleaner lifestyle? Why do you think that is such a rare thing, and why are more people the opposite to maybe me and you?
Well, so it's the history of food. It's the history of chemicals too, and taking us back to how did we get to this place where everything was healthy before World War II, when people were farming and they were eating healthy, and there weren't chemicals in the world to pull. There were always chemicals in the world, but there weren't 80,000 of them, which there are these days. So the marketing of new products to make everything faster and everything cleaner, supposedly, was very important as the World War II was ending, especially when all the army men were coming home and the wives wanted to have everything cleaner in the house. So that's where your Windex and that's where your cleaning supplies came from, and all those chemical cleaning supplies throughout the years. And it was a huge business, huge. And they were spraying things on lawns, and they wanted everything, you know, green and no weeds. And it's kind of interesting to look back at that and where that came from. And then all the fast food chains started coming up, you know, that people were eating at the McDonald's and the Burger King, and faster. It had to be faster and quicker. And so on the wayside, the people that were eating like we were and living like we were considered geeks. We were considered nerds. We were considered granola heads. I don't know if that was a term in the UK, but in the US it was. And they considered us a little bit freaky. So the marketing of those items and fast foods and cans and what are they called? TV dinners, you know, pop it out of the freezer and put it in the oven or microwave it, another one. So everything was multiplying, and the dollars behind fast food is enormous. It still is to this day, but things are shifting. Things are definitely shifting. Even when I was in college in the 80s, it was still a little abnormal. 90s, things started changing a little bit, and now we're seeing a shift of, and it's going to take a while because we polluted our earth so much with all these chemicals, and we polluted our bodies and polluted our farmlands, but things are shifting.
Yeah, makes sense. You said then there's 80,000 different chemicals. So that's my next question is, what are some of the common ones that are just, we're just bombarded with all the time? What are the ones that are rife, so to speak, that people need to be aware of and possibly watch out for as well?
Yeah, so this is interesting too, and I will talk about those chemicals because there's quite a few of them. But where the UK and the United States are different is and it's better in the UK.
Regulations
and the European Union for that matter too. But the United States is horrible at regulating chemicals, probably because the majority of them are made here and the money behind the chemicals is we can't even put a figure on it. It's in the trillions and whatever's beyond trillion. But so they're lobbying, you know, all the time for these chemicals, but there are, out of 80,000 of them, we have 11 that have been banned, as opposed to UK and European Union. You have over 1,000 or something that have been banned that are not allowed in your products. So if you buy M&Ms here and you buy M&Ms there, if you buy shampoo here and shampoo there, same brand, it's a different makeup. It's a different whatever you call it, ingredients that go in them. So on that note, so I might mention a chemical here. It could possibly be banned in the UK and European Union. But some of the ones that we hear about all the time are some that are considered endocrine disruptors. Now, that's a key word because there's so many chemicals that are endocrine disruptors. And it's chemicals that are classified as phthalates. And what these chemicals are doing in our products, they are changing our endocrine cycle. They are causing havoc with women's reproductive system. They are causing havoc in men's reproductive systems. Supposedly, the sperm count in men is going way down. And it has been for years because of these chemicals. And there's some other crazy things that these chemicals are doing as well. So the phthalates are one that is just is huge because they're in so many different products. Parabens are another one that are also hormone disruptors. And there's so it's paraben, P-A-R-A-B-E-N. And then there's four or five of them, like methylparaben you'll see, or you'll see propylparaben. So if you just look for that paraben word. Now that has come out in the past few years that you'll see products that say paraben free. So slowly some of these products people are starting to realize, like, wow, we're putting this on our skin. We're rubbing this in our skin. It's going into our system. So one of the biggest things that I try to tell people to look for on any label, whatever you're buying, especially personal care products and laundry detergent and cleaning supplies, is the word fragrance. Now, this in the United States, and I don't know your regulations over there, but if it has the word fragrance in it, never buy it, because the word fragrance, they can, especially in the United States, as I said, is a trade secret from the 1940s. So it's a rule from the 1940s that has not changed. I could make anything. I could make my cleaning supplies and I could put the word fragrance on there. And then I could put in that fragrance 30 of the most toxic chemicals. And I don't have to tell you what those chemicals are.
No way.
Yeah. So your Tide laundry detergent, that smell that you think is really a ocean breeze smell or whatever it is, I don't know, you know, the marketing terminology that they use, is fragrance. And the fragrance is made up of horrible chemicals that are known to cause cancer, that are known to disrupt the endocrine cycle, that could be affecting your autoimmune system. It could be suppressing your immune system. So that's like one of my number one things when I go through somebody's house or help them on a Zoom call, what we look for, because it's so detrimental to your health and to your body's endocrine cycle. So some of the other ones, formaldehyde, believe it or not, is in nail polish. I mean, why it is in nail polish, I don't know, but formaldehyde is known to be linked to cancer. It can increase your breathing issues, asthma, or, you know, it irritates your nose, your eyes, your throat. So those are some of them. I mean, I could go on and on and on, talk about aluminum, which is in antiperspirant. You never want to buy antiperspirant ever, because you are blocking those pores, those lymph nodes in your underarms with, typically it's aluminum. And
yeah, and that's almost impossible to get out of your system, isn't it?
It's not impossible, but it takes a while. So, I mean, believe me, I was using it probably growing up. We didn't know any better. And, I remember my white shirts. I don't know if anybody knows when you get those armpit stains, that's not from your sweating. That is from the chemicals that are in your antiperspirant, FYI. So, and once it gets in your clothing, all these chemicals get in your clothing, like laundry detergent, it's very hard to get them out. So, so those are some of them. I mean, there's a laundry list of other ones, that sodium lauryl sulfate is a known carcinogen. It's in shaving cream. I should have had you bring some of your products, unless you have some close by, we could analyze them, which would have been so much fun. Maybe we have to do that again, Allie.
Yeah, I could have got some as well from the gym, because we've got stuff here in the gym, and you'll probably lose your mind.
I probably would. I know. And I mean, the gym I go to, they have towels sitting there for everybody. I can't even touch them because they smell so toxic of laundry detergent. I tried telling them, just buy at least fragrance-free laundry detergent, because that's so unhealthy for people to be wiping on their skin and breathing in those fumes. So,
yeah, I want to come back to the products, but I want to just ask another question and then come back to the products. In terms of chemicals and toxins in a person's body at any one time, do you know the rough estimate of number of how many can be in somebody's body at any one time?
I that's a very good question. I don't know the answer. I know it's hundreds. The good thing is that, so let's talk just about organic food versus non-organic food. Because we all have that everywhere we live in this world. You have those two options. The organic food non-organic food that is sprayed with pesticides, right? It's sprayed with herbicides. It's typically, I should say, is sprayed with all these chemicals. These days, they're also injecting those chemicals into the seeds. So it's not necessarily just on the outside of the fruit or the vegetable that you're eating. Now it's inside. So now you can't even wash it off, right? And it's getting worse, because the more they use these pesticides and herbicides, the more they have to use them, because the bugs are starting to, they're smart, Mother Nature, figure out ways to get around all these pesticides and herbicides. So that's one case there. But the good news is, if you decide to switch to organic food, which I encourage everybody to only eat organic, and I know it can be pricey, but I'm going to talk about that too. Those chemicals do come out of your body. And they've done studies, and I've seen some families that they've measured their chemicals, and you can get your chemicals, what chemicals are in your system. You measure it. I've done it, actually. And you start eating organic food, it takes, I think they said, a week to 10 days for those chemicals to come out of your system, which is huge. So, and so that's a good thing.
Yeah, this is a key point. I just want to highlight this. I just want to highlight this to the audience. This is a key point, is that I've heard people say to me before, well, it doesn't matter that I've got these toxins and I'm putting these sprays on my body because my body will detoxify itself naturally. And I'm like, yes, it will detox itself from natural stuff, but not from all of this man-made and made-up chemical crap. And they're like, oh, okay. So that is, I'm glad you made that point, because if we do switch to that more natural lifestyle, whether it be food or the chemicals that we're exposed to, our body's gonna deal with it naturally if it is natural.
No, that's a good point. And the other thing I'd like to add to that is, you get these chemicals in your system, right? You're putting lotion on, or deodorant, or shampoo, or makeup, or lipstick, and then you're sleeping in chemicals from your laundry detergent. You have no idea how these chemicals are combining in your system and how they're reacting to one another. So if somebody says, oh yeah, it's been, you know, this product has been tested and they say it's at a safe level, the problem is that you're using dozens of products a day, or dozens of different chemicals. So it's really how they're all coming into your system and what is going on inside your liver, your kidney, all these places where they're overloaded. And these days we are toxic overloads in our world of, the products that we use and the food that we potentially eat. And those are areas that you have a choice to change, because once you walk out the door, the chemicals that you're coming in contact with, of course, we don't have a choice. We can't all walk around in a bubble. But so you do have, there's alternatives and there's choices out there. So the idea is to try to reduce that toxic load, so your body has a better chance at fighting them off.
Yeah, you touched on briefly about the cost side of things, because that is a big barrier for a lot of people. They always put that up as a excuse, I'd call it. So what's your answer to those people who say, oh, well, organic's too expensive, or if I go to my organic store, it's going to be £8 or $8 for some detergent, where I can go to Walmart or Tesco over here and get it for £2, or a bottle of bleach for 50p or 50 cents. What do you say to those guys?
Well, and I understand exactly what they're saying. With the organic food, now this is how we do, our shopping, and we are very cautious. We buy everything organic. I mean, it's too important to me. I'd rather not go out to dinner at all. I'd rather eat healthier at home. So we save money that way. But with the organic produce, so I do three things, but this is us. We juice so that nothing goes to waste in our house. And anything that you think you will, well, we put in a compost, but the outside of all the lettuces will juice. We juice everything. And then when we're chopping up vegetables to cook for, put them in a salad, anything that you think goes in the garbage or in the compost goes in a baggie, and it goes in the freezer. So then what we eventually do, we take all those bags and we boil up those vegetables and we make vegetable broth with those remains of all the vegetables, even the outside of onions, everything. So we get a bigger bang for our buck. I treat vegetables like they're gold. And so it's that's one way to get more out of your vegetables, especially when they're organic. And I know that how valuable they are. So and then the laundry detergent and shopping for that, that is hard for me to say, because I honestly buy only two products, and one's called Molly Suds, and the other one's Meloria, and they're owned by these small little companies that probably are just in the United States. But
you can get Meloria anywhere. I've seen it over here.
Oh, have you? Okay, good. So the, you know, it's, I like to say it that you are, especially with laundry detergent, this is where this, everyone's like, what's your number one product that you tell people to change? And it's laundry detergent. Spend the money on a non-toxic, no fragrance laundry detergent, because you are sleeping in chemicals. So you're breathing them in. You are putting them in your home, because the vents, no matter what, those toxic chemicals are permeating around your house. And then in your dryer, which most people vent outside, you're polluting the environment with these chemicals. So they are really those, like a threefold problem with toxic laundry detergent. And people ask me all the time, so how do you get your clothes clean? How do you get your whites cleaned? Well, I use, they also have a white booster, but it's, you get used to using these cleaning products, these cleaning laundry detergent, where you also might have to, I also have a laundry bar soap, it's called. So I scrub out some of the stains, which comes out that way. So you might have to use your hands a little bit more than chemicals. So in the long run, you're doing yourself and your family a major benefit of using non-toxic laundry detergent. And don't even get me started on dryer sheets, because they are probably even more toxic than laundry detergent. And there's alternatives for those too. I know people are like, well, what about static cling? And well, the chemicals are what is causing the static cling, especially if it's any kind of unnaturally made, like polyester is a chemical. So the dryer balls work fabulous. So, and then people are like, what about a nice scent and essential oils? Again, if I want any type of scent in my laundry, I'll put a little lavender in there. So,
yeah. And ultimately, all of this boils down to just taking responsibility for your own health and well-being, for your own wellness. I mean, if you want to take responsibility and you want to make changes and you want to live a longer, healthier, more happy life, then this is part of it. You've got to take that responsibility and make those initial choices. And we all have that choice that we can make.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. And, you know, cancer is a horrible disease. It's just unbearable to deal with.
And because I'm right in saying you got diagnosed with, was it breast cancer? Is that right?
They misdiagnosed me.
Oh, got you. That's it. Okay.
And yeah, so they told me I had breast cancer, and I was floored. I'm like, how did I ever get breast cancer? And I was in the gurney. They were going to, they wanted to operate on me, and the people that come in and read everything, she looked at me and she said, you do not have breast cancer. I'm like, what? And they misdiagnosed me. But just going through that whole scenario of panicking and not sleeping and, oh my God, how did it happen? And what, I can't believe I have to go through this. And it was just horrible. And I just thought, all the people that go through breast cancer and cancer, and just knowing that they could be potentially preventing cancer and get carcinogens out of your body and carcinogens out of your home, knowing that, you know, that is a route that you can take, just for even sense of knowing you're not using them. So it really hit me hard, and just, I mean, I've had friends who have had breast cancer, and it's just the experience is just mind-boggling and just gut-wrenching, sad that, and people are not open to changing their lifestyle that could potentially be saving their lives. And I always put in the word potentially in there, just because I never will say, stop using these chemicals and you won't get cancer, because we can't say that, because nobody knows for sure. But there's pretty good evidence out there, especially when we know they cause cancer. Those are known factors. Many of these chemicals are known carcinogens, and they're still allowed on the market. Still allowed.
T, with the people that you're working with and the clients that you have, I know you've said their cancer, you've said maybe endocrine issues. What are some of the other common issues and problems that you see in maybe time and time again with the people that you're dealing with and you're working with?
Autoimmune issues are so prevalent, and it's just known that so many of these chemicals suppress the immune system. Your immune system can only do so much for you. And these autoimmune illnesses, Hashimoto's, there's a whole laundry list of them. I mean, cancer is really an autoimmune illness too. But I've interviewed quite a few people in my circuit, and I have so many people that work with people in those different niches. And all of them have success stories of detoxing people's homes and getting these chemicals out of your life and your system. And all of a sudden they have that, their illness is gone, or it's really reduced to such a lower level that they can live a much healthier and live a life where they're not suffering all the time through these illnesses. I mean, even just asthma, even just if you have a common, if you think you have allergies. I mean, I know people that use horrible laundry detergent and they are constantly sniffling. Well, that constant sniffling might not be allergies. That could easily be the air in your home that you are breathing, because typically the air in our home is somewhere between 2 and 20 times more polluted than the outside air because of those different chemicals floating around your house all day long from all these different products. And it's not just cleaning supplies. It's not just the food you're eating. It's not just the lotion you're putting on. It could be your furniture. It could be the paint that you put up on your wall. It could be the wood, some type of wood that's been treated. It's overwhelming. But once you start looking at just doing some of the small things that you really can control, specifically personal care products, you are making a huge step into being less toxic in your own home.
Okay, let's go into more detail on that. How do we go about it? How do we start detoxifying ourselves? So we've said there, the big one is sorting your products out. What else can we do to detoxify ourselves and also detoxify our homes as well? What are some of the big things?
So the first place I would start would be your kitchen, and get rid of your plastics that you're storing any food in. Ditch them, or use them for nails and whatever in your basement.
And switch to what? Glass?
Glass, only glass. I went out to dinner last night. I tell you, one of my favorite things that I do now, and everybody at the table was like, wow, that was smart. I brought my own takeout glass container for the food I knew I wasn't going to finish. And I put it in there storing food in plastic is those plastics, especially if it's warm food, can leach into your food. So
yeah, we spoke about this before on another episode. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yes. So glasses. I mean, you can buy glassware anywhere. I mean, just
at the dollar store or the pound shop, we call it.
Yeah. Yeah, you could. I don't want to tell you some of the old glass has lead in it. So, but no matter what, get rid of the plastic. Also for our environment. I mean, these plastics are not breaking down on landfills, and they're ending up in the ocean, and our fish are just being strangled by these plastics that are just all over the place. So that's one area. What you cook with, okay? So your cookware. My two favorites that are great are stainless steel, the old-fashioned way, stainless steel, iron.
Cast iron.
Cast iron, thank you. Which we love. We cook only on cast iron, and which is fabulous. And then the one that I want you to beware of are the nonstick cookware. That is where these PFAS chemicals, which is a huge thing in the United States right now, it's a huge thing worldwide, because these PFAS chemicals, and that's perfluorinated, it's a whole laundry list of chemicals, but it's classified, either you'll see it as PFAS, or you might see PFOA. You're starting to see, yep, you're starting to see some places say PFAS free. I buy PFAS free dental floss because these chemicals are in dental floss. So basically the chemicals resist water. They are non-stick pans. They are in jackets, been sprayed so they don't repel water, right? So they put them on furniture. They've been putting them on everything for decades. Well, it's also known as a class of chemicals called the forever chemicals, because it is almost next to impossible to get rid of them. And they're in our oceans, and they are in all of our waterways. They are in our drinking water, but they started out in these Teflon pans and the nonstick pans that you're supposed to only cook with, like a wooden spoon or I think plastic you can use on them or something. I've never had them, but if you cook on these pans, the nonsticks, if you like, I can't get rid of them, I have to have the nonstick, which I wouldn't even, if they have any scratches in them whatsoever, you are eating major chemicals in all your food every time you cook. So if they're scratched, throw them out. There is one brand of a nonstick that I think they are worldwide, but it's called Green Pan. And I've done a lot of research on them, and in our toxic community, we talk about them a lot. They're ceramic nonstick, so they do not use the PFAS chemicals in them. So it's ceramic nonstick. So those are okay. So your cookware is really important. What you're storing your food in, and then what you're cooking your food in is really critical. And then of course all the food that you're cooking as well, and hopefully organic as well too. So that's the kitchen is really where you can make a huge impact on the health of you and your family. And that's one area. So did I answer that question good enough?
Yeah. Yeah. What about air? How are we going to sort the air out?
So the air, what's in your air in your house, there's a lot of different ways. First off is your cleaning supplies. This is where you can save a lot of money. You can make your own. And all you really need to clean with is vinegar, white vinegar, and water. You can put it in a spray bottle. You can put whatever essential oil you want in there. That's all you pretty much need. I actually have an all-purpose cleaner that called Tease Organics. We can talk about that at the end, but that I've actually created and made, because I was sick of seeing all these toxic cleaners out there. So the air that you are breathing in your home is one big chemical, because if you're cleaning with these cleaning supplies that they tell you, you have to have something for your floor, you have to have something to clean the counter, you have to have something to clean the sink, the toilet. You have like five different cleaning supplies. You don't need all that. So when I was a kid, we were cleaning our windows with vinegar and newspaper. I guess that's what we use. And that did the trick. So that's the first step, your cleaning supplies, because you don't need to be breathing all this in. If you have little kids, it's getting on their fingers. Their fingers are going in their mouth. If you have pets, if you have a dog walking on the floor with chemicals, they're ingesting it. So that's one thing. Another big thing is open up windows. Even in the middle of winter, if you can even open a window to generate the airflow, is huge, because so many of these houses these days that are new houses are so airtight. I have a health inspector person that I communicate with, and he's like, they're living in coffins. There's like no air in their house for them to breathe. And if they're breathing anything in their house, it's all loaded with chemicals. So just keep that in your mind, you know, that you really want fresh air as much as possible, especially in your kitchen. If you're cooking on a gas stove, definitely open up the window a little bit to get those fumes out.
Yeah. We pretty much never shut our windows. We live on the second floor of an apartment complex, so they're open all the time.
That's great. That's awesome. That's perfect. It's great. I know I'm in Buffalo, New York. We get pretty bad snowstorms here, and I still open up our windows. So that is one. The other a few more things I'd love to touch on, because I love talking about indoor air quality. And if you have ceiling fans, wash them regularly. I went into this Airbnb and there was a stack of dust on top of the ceiling fan. I wanted to cringe. I actually cleaned it myself, but wash your ceiling fans. If you have air conditioners, make sure if it's a whole house unit, change those filters regularly. They say, like, I change mine 3 times a year. Some people do them once a month. If you have air conditioners that are in your windows, clean those filters. That's what those filters are for. You pop them out, wash them with water, and you pop them back in. It's as simple as can be. I'm sure your air conditioning units are just like ours. Take your shoes off when you come in the house. There's so much out there that you could be walking on the pavement, on the grass, that you are bringing into your house if you are not taking your shoes off regularly. And then, of course, my favorite thing is an air purifier, which I am a huge proponent of. I love the Austin air purifier, which is sold around the world, is made here in Buffalo, New York. And that's not the only reason why I mentioned that, but they are 100% made in the United States. There's no parts made in China, and which that's a whole nother story about products that are made in China, because the regulations are totally different regarding the plastics that are in them. So the Austin Air is a HEPA grade, and it's amazing. It's just the amount of air that it cleans. And when I take the Austin Air to people's houses, I always take and when I help them, I have an indoor air quality monitor. I have like 5 different brands, but I put them in their house. We measure there are different chemicals. It'll measure formaldehyde and the VOCs, which are a whole line of chemicals in a house, and it'll measure it. And then they get the air purifier, and I go back a week later, and all those levels have reduced, and it's pretty fascinating. Yeah. So it's it is amazing. When we got ours in our bedroom, my husband was a pretty bad snorer, and he doesn't snore anymore. It was like, or at least he doesn't wake me up. He could have taken the roof off the house with his snoring. Now it's just like a little purr. But and that's it's cleaning the air that you're breathing in. And those little specks that you see when the sun shines into your bedroom and you see all those little specks out there of dust floating around, those are all loaded with chemicals that you are breathing in every day. So those are, you know, just some easy things that you can do to stop these pollutants from taking over your home.
What about plants? Because obviously everyone says, oh, get the plants in. So what are some good plants people can have inside?
Yes. I'm so glad you brought that up, because I know we're on video, but
I love plants, by the way.
Yeah. And I know you, if you're listening to his podcast, you can't see what's behind me, but
she's got loads of plants.
like a jungle in this house.
Jungle, yeah.
And that's just the sunroom. But so plants are so great for filtering chemicals out of the air. And you do not have to have a green thumb. There's plants out there that are really easy to take care of. And I actually have an Amazon store. I don't know if you have one of these, but I just refer people to, and I have three plants on there, and I can't remember the names, but that are so easy to take, or just Google it, the easiest plants to take care of that filter the air in your home.
I think snake plant's a good one. Snake plant.
I was just going to tell you snake plant, which is also called a grandfather plant, because you barely even have to water them. They stand up in the air, and put those in your bedroom because they're really good for filtering air, and which is great for your lungs. So the peace lily is another one, easy to take care of. You don't have to water it until you see it wilt. And they don't need too much sun. Neither one of those need too much sun. So, and then there's a handful of other ones, but yeah, plants are great, and they just look great, and they make you feel happy. At least they make me feel happy. So
definitely. Yeah. And, as you say, most of them, they're not that difficult to look after. And I'm the same as you. I think they make your living area look a bit more natural and, more aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah. I mean, I was lucky. I grew up with plants, and my dad taught me all about it. And I talk to my plants all the time. It's just kind of funny. They're living creatures in my mind. So it's fun to take care of them. And, you know, sometimes they do die and you just buy another one, unfortunately, but yeah, it's fun. Definitely.
We've got a cheese plant that's out of control. It's just going, it's growing so big. And we just say, I know they grow big anyway, but we just say, because the vibe's so good in our apartment, we say that's why it grows, because it's just got, it's in the good vibrations.
I love it. Absolutely. They're just so, you know, great to have in your house. So, and they're not expensive, you know, they're great. So it's fun. Yeah, for sure.
Let's talk about benefits then. So what benefits will people start to see? Let's talk maybe immediately and then more long-term when they start to make these switches, even if they just take one or two that you've said today and put them into practice, what kind of benefits will people start to see?
Well, there's a whole laundry list of things that you could start seeing changing in your, how you feel.
Yeah, I said see, I meant feel.
Yeah. There's a saying out there, people don't know they don't feel bad until they feel better. So you might start feeling like you have less brain fog. So chemicals can cause brain fog. You might stop sniffling. You might start sleeping better. Your body's not always upcharged to get rid of these toxic chemicals. There's some of these chemicals are obesogens. And what that means is they make you gain weight, which is that we didn't even touch it. Yeah. So you might start feeling you have more energy, less headaches. These are all things that these chemicals can do to your system, that they can cause you to, you know, feel. You might feel more relaxed. There's just the what these chemicals can do to your system, and how they can really affect everything in your body and how it's acting is enormous.
It's a slow death, basically, isn't it?
What's that?
It's causing you a slow death.
Well, it you know what? There's reports out there that people in, yeah. I mean, it's just take it one step at a time. Don't get overwhelmed. That's why I tried. You know, even take a baby step.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was going to ask you that, because, you know, some people, they can get carried away with it, can't they? They can almost make themselves sicker by being so regimented and disciplined with it. Oh, I need to clean this, or I need to use this product and I can't touch that. I guess it's about awareness and doing it, as you said, with small steps.
But there are people that I've spoken to that I have somebody I interviewed on my podcast. She had stage 4 breast cancer and they really gave her no hope to live. And she said, damn it, I'm living. And she went online and did all this research and realized, oh my God, I'm living in a toxic house. She said, I came home. She cleared out her cupboards, got everything out of there that was anything that had any toxic ingredient in it whatsoever. She went 100% organic, looked at all of her personal care products, got rid of them, replaced them. And that's another thing. You don't need 30 personal care products. But here nor there, she survived and is thriving today. And her doctor is now using her protocol with his patients because her numbers just went so down that he couldn't believe what he was seeing with her cancer numbers. So, but one of the big things, and I know you're going to agree with me on this, is exercise. And exercise is key to keeping your body mobile, keeping your body oiled, getting those toxins out of you, sweating them out. Not only good for your system, it's good for your mind, it's good for everything. So I just want to make sure I brought that up too, because we all have toxic chemicals in us. I do. And actually, I told you I had mine measured, which, as you could imagine, they were quite low, except one chemical was in there, which I couldn't figure out why. And we analyzed it, and she went through my whole report with me. And this was probably about 10 years ago before I really started getting into this. And we figured out, and I know everybody's going to hate me on this, but it came from the coffee maker. So all that plastic in your, if you're using a coffee maker, we use a stainless steel French press now, but everybody drinks coffee, and those coffee makers, and even those pods, some of the pods are just horrible. And, you know, another one, make it quicker, make it faster. Let's throw it in a plastic pod, shove it in there. Let's put this boiling water through your plastic pod. And out comes your coffee. Well, nobody's thinking about that plastic that is being boiled, basically, into your coffee.
Yeah. And coffee is pretty toxic anyway.
And coffee's toxic too. So, so I got rid of the coffee maker because it was the plastic inside that everything was going through. And sure enough, all my numbers went way down from that one chemical that I had in my system. So I was pretty excited about that. Yeah. So there's, you know, but you do these little things that make big changes in your life, such as the laundry detergent, get your air cleaned up in your house a little bit, get different cleaning supplies. These aren't drastic things, you know. Start trying to maybe buy a little bit more organic, especially if it's got any kind of soft outside tissue to it, like strawberries and blueberries are some of the major ones. Environmental Working Group has, you can look it up, but they have the Clean 15 that they recommend, that you don't have to buy organic if you can't afford all the organic. So those are some resources that you can find online as well to help you. So
I just want to point out a few things off the back of everything that you've just said, and they've kind of sprung into my mind. So I want to share them with you and with the audience as well. And the first one is, personally, from my own mindset and my own being, I feel as if I've been a little bit ignorant to some of this stuff. So I want to point that across, and I'm definitely going to make some changes myself, because I knew things were bad, but you really hammered it home how bad some of this stuff is, how really bad it is. So that's the first thing I wanted to point. But the second thing is that what I love about this approach and your approach is that not only is it backed by the research side of things? And are people are looking for that all the time now. They want to see the science. They want to see the research. So you've got that backing. But also, proof's in the pudding. I mean, as we say, proof's in the pudding. Your proof of it, that it works. You've got numerous clients. You've got people on your podcast. So we're not saying that it's going to cure everything, but there's a high percentage chance that it's going to make a huge difference in your life by making these changes. So I just wanted to add those points.
Absolutely. And I mean, I guess it's
maybe it isn't ignorance as well. Maybe it's a lack of maybe education and awareness.
Well, I don't think it's ignorance. I think that it's awareness. I think that it's awareness, but it's not your fault. It's these companies' fault that are making these products to make a ton of money off of us, making them cheap, making them quick. Make and marketing. So, believe me, I watch commercials all the time and I just am floored, like, oh my God, I can't believe that's allowed on the air. But, and it's big pharma. So, they're all feeding.
Dude. Yeah. I didn't really want to go down this route, but, yeah, I was going to say, do you think it's a setup? Like, that's what I was going to ask you earlier, but I didn't want to but seeing as we're going there, like, to me, it seems like it's a setup, like it's done by design.
Oh gosh, we can go down that, because Big Pharma basically owns all the chemical companies. Big Pharma obviously is all of the drugs that are made out there. It's the chemicals. They are polluting us and making a ton of money off of it. But they're also so powerful with our governments that they are fighting, because they see what's happening, but they're starting to buy up some of these little firms that have these great, you know, you have to be always on the lookout. I mean, I have some products that I used to love, and then one of the bigger companies that owns like a whole, like 100 different brands, whether it's Johnson & Johnson or Pfizer, PepsiCo. I mean,
PepsiCo, Coca-Cola, Moderna.
Yes, exactly. And then Monsanto, which
Monsanto. That's it. Yeah, yeah.
They have over 140,000 lawsuits against them for their glyphosate Roundup that's being sprayed on lawns. That, by the way, is not allowed in the in Europe. But in the United States, it's still out here, and they're fighting and fighting and fighting. And then let's take medical school. Let's take medical school, where they only learn between 4 and 10 hours about any of this nutrition. They don't learn what I just talked about today, because the big pharma companies are also backing the medical school. So what do they want to teach them? How to give them medicine to make them better, not how to eat better, not how to avoid these toxic chemicals to feel better. It's, oh, take this pill, take that pill. So, you know, we're coming around.
No money in health.
Yeah. And, you know, these little people like me and you and other people around the world, and thank God for social media and that we can share, because the things are shifting. It's just getting awareness out there. And so when you are reading something or you see an advertisement, you might say, you know what? I'm going to read that label. I'm going to look at what I just bought. Use up that shampoo that you have in your shower, but then start looking at something that doesn't have some of these horrible chemicals and the parabens and sulfites and, you know, crazy other chemicals that are making it whiter and making it suds better and making it come off your hair better and making it smoother. I mean, there's other products out there. I mean, I actually use shampoo bar. So no plastic. I'm not throwing plastic away. They don't have to put chemicals in it to make it liquidy. And it's a shampoo bar. So look up shampoo bars. See if that works for you. Conditioner, you know, there's other healthier conditioners out there too. So it's not all about everything being more expensive. There's great products wherever you are in this world that you could be buying that could save you money, save your health, and save you from having to put all these chemicals in your system. So we don't want to be the Russian roulette out there. And that's basically, unfortunately, using all of these, you just don't know what it's doing to your body. So
yeah. I guess the key takeaway is that it's controlling your environment, isn't it? Because you can only control to some extent what you can control. So if you can get your own house in order, then you're going to be better prepared when you step out into outside of your home or outside of your environment. You're going to have almost like a shield or a coat of armor on to deal with these situations better, because as soon as we step out that door, we're bombarded with so many toxins, so many chemicals, so many things coming in just like through our eyes and through our head as well, with like you said, commercials and advertisements and propaganda and all of that kind of stuff. So all you can do really is focus on yourself and your family and take care of that, and then hopefully that can radiate out. And that's why we share these messages, that's why we have these conversations, we use our platforms to do that.
Absolutely. And it's just being aware and paying attention. One other thing I want to bring up that I always like to bring this up is perfume. And perfume,
okay, my wife should be listening to all this, by the way.
Okay, yes. Tell your wife, oh my God, when I smell perfume on anybody, I just want to cringe. And where are they putting it? Typically right here, right? Well, this is where our thyroid is.
Thyroid, yeah.
Your thyroid pretty much rules your body. So we hear about hypothyroidism. We hear about all these thyroid illnesses. And then what are
hormonal problems?
Hormonal problems. And what are they giving them? More drugs, more chemicals to regulate it. On this area, you should never be putting chemicals ever. Those, that perfume could be going right to your thyroid. Well, those chemicals have to go somewhere. And the perfume, why it lasts so long, is these chemicals that they put in there to make it last even longer. And perfume is made 100% from chemicals. And they don't have to tell you, again, at least in the United States, what is in that perfume. So I've gotten more people off of perfume. They wanted to, weren't happy with me, put it that way, at the beginning. And then, you know, like a month or 2 months later, I always get the phone call saying, I can't believe I was wearing perfume on my neck for that long. And I can't even stand the smell of it anymore. And it's always rewarding to me when I hear that, because it's just so important of an organ right there that you do not want to be messing with that at all. You want to be taking care of your thyroid. So, and for you men, shaving cream, I don't know if you use shaving cream.
Oh, I don't use that.
I didn't think so, obviously. And I mean, shaving cream. Men are putting shaving cream on that have potentially ammonium in it, mineral oil, fragrance, of course. You have to put fragrance in it so it smells like a clean man. Formaldehyde has been known to be in shaving cream. Phthalates, which are messing with your endocrine system, sodium lauryl sulfate, which is a known carcinogen. So think about the shaving cream they're putting on. They're shaving off that top layer of their, basically their skin, right? And the hair. And all of those ingredients have an easy access into your bloodstream. So shaving cream, there are healthy shaving creams out there. Believe me, my husband, you know, I had to get him off everything that he was on, and he's fine. He's like me now. I love it. I mean, he can't stand, we were sitting at a hockey game the other night and he's like, we have to move. I can't take that woman's perfume in front of me. I'm like, oh, I'm so glad you said that, because I'll get a headache. I'll start getting a sore throat if I smell anything like that. And I can't imagine what other people, you know, feel. Again, they don't know they're feeling bad until they feel better.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think as well, human beings, we have this innate thing where we're a little bit resistant to change, but we don't realize as well how quickly we can change. So we have that, barrier. But then when we make those changes, you think back and you think, oh, was I actually like that? Or was I feeling that way? So it's hard at first, but if you make those changes, you make those steps, the same with exercise, same with eating well, at first it's hard, but you won't believe how bigger difference it makes until you actually, as you say, feel it and witness it firsthand.
Absolutely.
Definitely. So what would be the switch with perfume and shaving cream? Would it be essential oils again?
Absolutely. Essential oils. You can create your own perfume with essential oils. I don't wear perfume. I don't wear perfume. I just have essential oils once in a while. Do I have one right here? Oh, I used to have one right here that are uplifting. So I have something, you know, I'll make a blend of like lavender oil with some fragmented coconut, because I love lavender. It makes me happy. So I'll put that here. Sometimes I'll put it on the temple, and all it is fragmented coconut oil and lavender. And sometimes I'll put in maybe citrus or something to make me feel happier. And I feel like, you know, that's all I need. I do not put perfume or any, you know, I don't feel like I have to spray anything on my, I'm all natural, I guess, put it that way. I don't like the smell.
Yeah, I've got you. What about makeup? Because obviously a lot of women love their makeup and wear the makeup. Where do we go with that?
Wow, that's a huge, I actually sat in on a webinar yesterday all about how toxic makeup can be. This is a very hot topic in the United States right now, and there's laws that are soon to go into effect. They're very close to signing off on regulating many of these chemicals that are in makeup. Luckily, in Europe, your laws are different than our laws, and you have much more regulations. What it is in the United States, you can create a product and you do not have to prove that it's safe until you're guilty.
Yeah, yeah. Same with supplements, isn't it? You know, with supplements. Yeah. Yes. So like I could go over to the States, make a protein powder or a branched chain amino acids or a pre-workout, and I could just sell it straight away and not even get checked. It's crazy.
Yes, not crazy. Whereas in the European, in Europe, you have a policy that you have to prove it safe before it can go on the market. So again, Clinique here, Clinique there, two totally different recipes for their products because they don't have to prove that they're safe here. And they can also put many more chemicals in them here than they can over there because you don't allow many of the chemicals. So the makeup end of things is very, and there's so many great makeups out there right now that don't have all of these chemicals in them that they care about what ingredients you're putting on your face, on your lips, your nail polish, your eyeliner, your mascara. So, you know, waterproof, again, those chemicals are in those, that one line of chemicals, the PFAS are in the waterproof makeup to make them stay on you. Unfortunately, those chemicals are going into your system and they are known to cause cancer and many other illnesses. So you have to do, I mean, makeup is probably the hardest thing I see have for people to make changes because the, women get so addicted to a certain product line. There are major shifts coming with makeup right now. So, but really, again, we as consumers have to make those changes and be more aware of what's what you're using and what's in the product. And, you know, again, over there, do a little Google search. I'm sure that you have products over there that they are not using all of these worrying chemicals that, you know, are causing infertility, causing cancer, linked to hormonal problems, causing rashes. They've also been known to change your DNA. So these are little things that you can be aware of. And just slowly, you know, look at the lipstick you're using, do a little research about what's in lipstick, what is in that lipstick, and look for a different one. And once your one lipstick is gone, and there's so many out there that you can use. So
great advice.
I use Pacifica. This is my little Pacifica that I buy at the health food store. So I mean, go to your health food store, maybe they have a line that you don't even know about that's like a local person that's making this wonderful product. So, and they're everywhere, of course. So, yeah.
Cool. I'm going to ask one more question on the product side of things, and then I want to give as well some more actionable steps before we kind of wrap things up. But on the product, a very controversial one and a very popular one, particularly on social media, is sunscreen, or we call it sun cream. What's the deal with that? Where do we stand on sun cream? I mean, personally, I try and not use it or stay away from it, and I use other stuff. But what's the deal with sun cream?
So glad you brought this up. Actually, I just did something on it a week or two ago, and sunscreen is the bad sunscreen is extremely toxic, and known carcinogens are in so many sunscreens that, as I tell my friends with kids that I've gotten them all to change, you're putting this sunscreen on your children and then the sun is baking it in their skin. I have a theory. I have my own thought is it is not the sun that is potentially causing the cancer. It is what you are putting on your skin that the sun is baking into your skin that is causing cancer. So
100%.
So even with cigarettes, not that I'm a cigarette proponent, but those cigarettes are not just tobacco. It's not the tobacco that is causing the cancer. It's the 40
chemicals
that are in the tobacco, that they're spraying on the tobacco, that they're putting in the cigarettes to make you addicted to them, that they're putting in the cigarette to make them burn faster, that you are smoking in, right? So
because tobacco is a medicinal plant.
Exactly. So,
but we just fuck it up. Excuse my French. We just F it all up for money. Get me started on this.
As you said earlier, it's wicked. Although in a bad term.
Yeah.
Wicked is usually
in a bad term. Yeah, I usually say wicked is good, but right, it's wicked in a bad way.
So the sunscreen is very controversial, but that is changing now too. So there's the ingredients that they put in them. So there's two ways to block the sun. One is through chemicals that you can put in your system and all over you to block the sun, and it repels the sun. The other way is through I can't think of the name right now, and I should, but it's the white stuff, right? But there's sunscreen. I can't think of it. I'm going to Florida next week, so I just ordered sunscreen that I want to take. I'm going there with all my high school friends, so I ordered like three different brands that I love. A Blue Lizard is one of them that they're using, and they're not white anymore. Like so many of the old sunscreen, you know, like you didn't want to put on because you look like a ghost, right? But that sits on the surface of your skin and blocks the sun, right? So all these other ones are using chemicals that are going into your skin that are causing major issues, potentially causing major issues with your organs. And you're lathering this up on your entire body, and the sun is just baking it into your skin. So there's oxybenzone is one of the chemicals that they put in there. Homosalate is another one. Retinol acetate. And I know myself personally, my brother and I actually, we went away on a family vacation. This is 20 years ago. And both of us broke out in these incredible rashes. And it was from the chemicals once we went to the doctor and he figured out and get rid of it. But they're causing reproductive problems, developmental problems, again, affecting your endocrine cycle, causing toxicity in your system, your neurotoxin system. They could be affecting your how you think. I mean, organ and system, everything inside you. The chemicals that are in sunscreen are so toxic. And that is definitely an area to look at and get different sunscreens. I did a podcast with a woman who she tested 200 different sunscreens. It was awesome. And so she really educated me quite a bit in that as well, even though I knew a lot, but she really knows her stuff when it comes to sunscreen. It was fun. But so look at, and don't use spray sunscreen. There's in order to get that spray out under your kids or under yourself is not good either. So make that change for sure. That's a definite one. I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah. It's one I'm fascinated by. I find it very, very interesting. And yeah, I think another key thing that I want to point out to the audience is that we think that these illnesses, these ailments, these problems that we're having, we think a lot of the time that they're mysteries and they're, oh, why has this happened to me? And I can't solve it. It's a mystery. But it's not. It's the things that we're doing. It's the decisions that we're making. It's the products that we're using. It's what we're putting in our body. It's what we're exposing ourselves to that's causing these issues. So what you need to do is everything that we spoke about is do the research, look what's in things, go to a more natural and less toxic lifestyle, and then start putting the pieces together, because I think sometimes people fail to make the connections.
Absolutely. And that's great advice, because and you can start today. One product, do one a week, one a week or one a month, and get rid of those cooking pans, switch over to glass, start looking at, you know, at your personal care products. Get rid of your cleaning supplies, use them up, go to vinegar water. And thankfully for the internet, you can Google, you know, all of this that I spoke about today, and you'll find more information out there about it and products that are so much better for you and for the environment too. So
definitely. All right. Let's leave the audience with some actionable tips. I mean, you've given loads anyway. You've given so many, probably more than any guest has done before, but let's give them three top tips they can put into practice pretty much straight away that's going to help them to live a longer, healthier, happier, and more joyful life, because that's the mission of the podcast. And that's my mission as a human being on this planet as well. So three top tips that they can do straight away to help them live a longer, healthier, happier, and more joyful life, please, T.
Okay, so clean, get your indoor air cleaner. And we talked about that today, but the indoor air is number one. You're breathing it in. Start paying attention to your indoor air a lot more. And if you really want to, you can buy an indoor air quality monitor that monitors your indoor air. But start looking at that, paying attention to that. A second one is, as I mentioned, is your laundry detergent. Major switch in getting chemicals out of your life all day long. So you're not sleeping, working, playing, working out in these chemicals. Get them out of your underwear. I often think, by the way, side note, I often think men's prostate cancer potentially, if you're wearing underwear with chemicals in them, I mean, they're going into your, potentially going into your system, just an FYI on a side note. So your indoor air, your laundry detergent, it definitely easy ones to do. Both of those are easy. And then your third tip is your cleaning supplies. Another easy one, definitely easy for you to do. So those three are, start with those three. And then, you know, you'll start seeing from that, just those shifts that you will start making, you will start paying attention and making other changes along the way. And of course, follow me, because I talk about these things all day long or all week long on all my social media. If you want more tips and just to come along with the ride of living a lower toxic life in this wonderful world we all live in, and we have to share it with each other, and we might as well share it in a less toxic way.
Definitely. Couldn't agree more. Just before we wrap up, tell people about your products. So you've got this product line coming out, and you've briefly touched on it, but give us a little bit more information on the products that you're launching.
Yeah, thank you. And as you heard him call me. My nickname is T. So I created a product line called T's Organics, and I have an all-purpose cleaner that is wonderful because it is antibacterial, antiseptic because of the essential oils that we use in it, not because of any chemicals. And it's everything that's in that bottle is fully disclosed on the label. And some of the essential oils are clove and wild orange and cinnamon and eucalyptus. And it's amazing because it can clean pretty much everything except windows. So that's coming out. And then I have 3 room sprays that are not just for rooms. They're for anything you want to spray it on. Maybe a workout bag that stinks of sweat. Maybe shoes are getting a little grungy. You can spray it on your bed linen. Bathroom, of course, is the most, that's why it's called the room spray for a bathroom. And so I have 3 different recipes coming out. And then down the road, we're going to be adding some more down the road. But I wanted to start here. And they're all in glass bottles and recyclable and made in the USA, not in China. So hopefully we'll be able to sell them in the UK. That would be fun, huh?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. That was going to be my question. Only available in the US to start with.
But let's see what happens. I'd love them to go, worldwide. So
let's make them go international.
Yeah, I'd love it. Definitely. This is a start.
Yeah, for sure. Where can the listeners go and the audience and the viewers go to find out more about UT? What's your social, your website, all of that jazz?
Yeah, I'm very easy to find. On Instagram, it's Green Living Gurus. On Facebook, it's Green Living Gurus. And I have a private Facebook group that's called Healthy Living and Toxic Free. You can find that pretty much on my bio on my Instagram page. I have everything that I talked about today, my T's Organics. I have a podcast called Green Living with T. And T's Organics right now just has a Facebook page, and they're working on the landing page on the website. And then the website is thegreenlivinggurus.com. So all of this information is very easy to find. It's accessible to everybody, which we love, why we love the social media, right? The internet. We can all be connected around this world like you and I are.
Exactly. And you've got a great blog as well. I want to point that out. I read a few of the blog posts, and everyone should go and check the blog out for sure.
Yeah, thank you. I'm a little behind, but we're getting some blog posts up very soon. And it's a lot of fun. I'm really passionate about it. And I'm so happy that it's taken off like this. So, and I'm so happy and appreciative of what you are doing as well. And your podcast and informing people of all the great subject matters. I went through some of yours, and it was a lot of fun to hear many of your interviews and sharing my experience with you. And I appreciate you having me on and sharing this knowledge.
My pleasure. I'm so happy that you've taken your time out and shared your knowledge and your expertise with myself and the audience. I really, really appreciate it. And yeah, just with my podcast, I just try and keep it as diverse as possible and share many different viewpoints so we can keep people aware and educated and informed. And that's what it's all about.
That's right. Absolutely.
We always end my show in the same way, T, and that's with a favorite quote. So can you hit me and the audience with a quote and we'll...
Absolutely. It's a very short one. And I think it will be a great way to end this podcast. And know your ingredients and read your labels.
Perfect. Namaste. Love it. Namaste. Thank you so much.
You're
Thanks,
welcome.
Thanks, T. Have a great one.
Have a great day. You too.
Bye.
Bye.
That's a wrap on another episode of the Kinetic Fitness Show. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this podcast episode with your friends, family, and colleagues. Until next time, peace and love.